Like death and taxes, another thing that's sure in life is that we all make mistakes. Hence, practicing forgiveness is vital to people's well-being. And because forgiveness has many facets, we'll explore it in two parts. Today focuses on forgiving others. Next week, we'll touch on how to seek forgiveness from others, then dive into how to forgive ourselves. About forgiving others, a great starting point is the work of Frederick Luskin, director of the Stanford University Forgiveness Project and author of the book Forgive for Good. Among his key ideas is that forgiveness does not mean denying or minimizing our hurt, or that we should no longer get angry at the injustice we've suffered. Neither is it a summons to forget, though truly forgiven often allows memories to fade and their impact to soften. Dr. Luskin also stresses that forgiving someone else can't depend on whether or not that person shows remorse or apologizes. Because as long as their attitude or behavior determines our emotional state, our well-being, they retain a negative power over us. Nor does forgiveness mean staying in a hurtful situation or letting someone shirk their obligations. For instance, we can forgive the offender and still choose to end or limit contact with them. Likewise, we can forgive a negligent ex-spouse and still take legal action to ensure we receive childcare support payments. Frederick Luskin sums it up this way: forgiveness and justice are not the same. Forgiveness and reconciliation are not the same. Forgiveness and condoning are not the same. These distinctions are important because they maintain our sense of justice and integrity while helping us release the past. The late South African Anglican Archbishop Desmond Tutu strongly agrees that forgiveness is essential. During the brutal years of apartheid's institutionalized racism and later as a witness to the Rwandan genocide and other atrocities, Tutu witnessed some of the worst acts human beings can inflict upon others. Yet as the head of South Africa's Truth and Reconciliation Commission after apartheid fell, he also observed astounding instances of people forgiving those very acts. Tutu addressed audiences worldwide and reported that wherever he went, he always got the same question: how do I forgive? To answer it, in 2014, he wrote a book with his daughter Mpho Tutu, Mpho is spelled M-P-H-O, a former Anglican priest, entitled The Book of Forgiving, The Fourfold Path of Healing Ourselves and Our World. Knowing that forgiveness is not weak or passive, but in fact that reaching such healing often requires tremendous courage and resolve, they sympathize when people are reluctant to walk this path. But they also tell us that, quote, many of us live our lives believing that hating the person who hurt us will somehow end the anguish, that destroying others will fix our broken, aching places. It does not. So many seek this path, and it is only when they stand in the aftermath of destruction amid the rubble of hatred that they realize the pain is still there, the loss is still there. Forgiving is the only thing that can transform the aching wounds and the searing pain of loss. The Tutus say which path we walk boils down to a choice: retaliate or reconnect. Evolutionary biologists tell us that we're hardwired for both. When we're hurt, it's natural to feel an initial impulse to strike back. But revenge is always costly. To paraphrase Gandhi, when we practice the law of an eye for an eye, the whole world ends up blind. Yet, physical or emotional wounds and violations happen. And when they do, we need a way to reconnect. For the Tutus, that way is the fourfold path. The first step on it they call telling the story of the injury, because stories have power. As just one illustration, countless people have recovered from various addictions and afflictions in 12-step and other support groups by basically telling their own stories and listening to those of others. In such settings, we no longer bear our burdens alone, and healing is often the result. Step two of the fourfold path is naming the hurt. Sometimes it may seem easier to just dismiss injuries and soldier on. But the tutus point out that many marriages and other relationships crumble under the cumulative weight of small unspoken hurts and their attendant resentments. Naming our hurt doesn't mean difficult feelings magically disappear. But when our hurt isn't heard, our hearts often contract and harden. So trying to bypass this step does not serve the authentic liberating forgiveness we want to achieve. Which brings us to the third step in the process, granting forgiveness. This can be hard because it means a part of our life story we've been invested in, basically how we were wronged, will now gradually fade into the background. But the shadow side of the first two steps, telling the story and naming the hurt, is that these can become an endless mental loop of a painful narrative that actually keeps the hurt from healing, much like continually picking at a wound that would otherwise have a natural recuperative cycle. Whereas the third step in the fourfold path, actually granting forgiveness, ends the loop of our undeserved injury. As spiritual teacher Eckhart Tolle puts it, forgiveness is to relinquish your grievance and so to let go of grief. This moves us from being a victim back to someone who can again experience personal agency and inner freedom. And the tutus stress that what enables us to forgive is recognizing our shared humanity with the person who hurt us. Drawing on his apartheid experience, Desmond Tutu writes, "I know that were I born a member of the white ruling class at that time in South Africa's past, I might easily have treated someone with the same dismissive disdain with which I was treated. I know, given the same pressures and circumstances, I am capable of the same monstrous acts as any other human. It is this knowledge of my own frailty that helps me find my compassion, my empathy, my similarity, and my forgiveness for the frailty and cruelty of others." Recalling our earlier reading, author Terry Dobson looked upon the fierce drunk man on the train with dismissive disdain and was eager to punish him. But the elderly man in the kimono recognized the hurt behind the rage and therefore saw the burly man's inner frailty and shame and thus his humanity. And as we heard, this deeper seeing was redemptive. Learning to apply this same awareness to a person who wronged us helps us realize that their actions were at least partly driven by the ghosts of their past and their cultural conditioning, which, as Tutu mentioned, can allow empathy and compassion to emerge. Related to this notion, Eckhart Tolle tells us that forgiveness naturally emerges when we grasp that, quote, "no human being can act beyond their level of consciousness at the time when they acted." Tolle speaks of his father's hair trigger anger and how, quite understandably, it hardened his feelings toward him. But he then shares that, quote, "later I realized that he could not help himself. He did not have the awareness. He was taken over by this anger. And the moment I realized that he acted according to his level of consciousness at the time, I didn't need to forgive anymore because there was nothing to forgive anymore. And that's a beautiful thing." As I said at the start, forgiveness does not mean denying or minimizing our hurt or forcing ourselves to try to let go of attendant feelings. But Tolle stresses that, quote, "when enough awareness comes in, the feeling lets go of you." And even though we may not fully feel like granting forgiveness at first, it can often be primed by consciously deciding to do so, after which our emotions gradually catch up. When they do, the tutus speak of feeling like a great weight has been lifted or an intense sense of inner peace returning. Once we grant forgiveness, we move on to the last step in the fourfold path, deciding whether to renew or release our relationship to the person who hurt us. Because relationships are and feelings are often complex, this choice might not always be immediately clear or complete. And it may partly depend on our circumstances, for instance, needing to be in contact with a former spouse because you share children, and the other person's current posture toward us. But if the three prior steps, telling the story, naming the hurt, and truly granting forgiveness, were taken with care, the choice to renew or release is likely to be a healthy one. Despite the many benefits of forgiving, and even now knowing that no one can act beyond their current level of consciousness, the thought of making such efforts when another person was in the wrong can still feel unfair, and thus engender reluctance, if not stubborn resistance. Yet really, what's the alternative? Continue to live with bitterness, toxic anger, vengeful fantasies, cynicism, numbness, inner and or outer isolation? Is that truly what we want? If so, look out, because such things are the trans fatty acids of the soul. Having been scientifically linked to nasty physical effects, including increased risks of hypertension, of depression and anxiety, of substance abuse, and more. Holding on to resentments is like drinking a little poison every day and wondering why we feel unwell. So if you find yourself hesitant to start on the fourfold path of forgiveness, recalling Dr. Frederick Luskin's vital distinctions may also be helpful. Forgiveness and justice are not the same. Forgiveness and reconciliation are not the same. Forgiveness and condoning are not the same. And if that's still not quite enough, you might consider a different motivation from Oscar Wilde, who suggested, always forgive your enemies. Nothing annoys them so much. More seriously, ultimately, we're each faced with a choice around forgiving, which the tutus capture in a poem of sorts. You have stood at this junction before. You will stand at this junction again. And if you pause, you can ask yourself which way to turn. You can turn away from your own sadness and run the race named revenge. You will run that tired track again and again. Or you can admit your own pain and walk the path that ends. I'm guessing we'd all like to reach the end of that path. Thus far on it, we've explored how to forgive others when they hurt us. Next Sunday, we'll look at how to seek forgiveness from others and the crucial matter of how to forgive ourselves. Namaste, and blessed be.